Weekdays with Mannix and Mannix is back on 96.3 WJJB, The Big Jab. Jeff and Taylor on the microphones, and now it is time for our main high school sports weekend preview for another weekend. For that, we are joined by our good friend. He is the guy behind Hoffer's High School Sports, Michael Hoffer, back with us once again. Michael, thanks for spending some time with us. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well, guys, you know, considering that it is dreary out, but, you know, all things considered, no complaints. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, doing just fine, and I think we need to start on the baseball diamond this week because there was a lot of happenings this week, including one of the games you covered in which you saw a perfect game between Scarborough and Gorham. Let's go to that one first, as Eric Swenson throws that perfect game for the defending Class A state champions from Scarborough. Not very often that we can talk about perfect games in high school, but there it was. What was that like to see?
It was pretty amazing, and you know, it's one of those special things that you're right. You see so rarely. You know, no hitters are somewhat common, but perfect games you almost never see, especially when you're going up against a really good team. You know, Scarborough's the reigning champ, but Gorham's right up there with them, and that was a highly anticipated pitching matchup because not only was Swenson pitching last Saturday, but Gorham started their ace, Wyatt Netto, who's going to Vanderbilt next year. So even though it was a miserable, dreary day, thankfully the weather held off. We were able to get that in last Saturday morning, and you could just tell right away that Swenson was on. He was dealing. His teammates gave him an unearned run in the bottom of the first, and then they tacked on a couple more as the game went on, and you know, of course, as Gorham keeps going down 1-2-3 each inning, you start thinking, all right, is this possible? Is, you know, could this happen? And, you know, superstition holds that you're not supposed to mention anything out loud. And I know he was kind of left alone in the dugout to do his thing. And, you know, coming out for the seventh inning with a 3-0 lead, you know, at that point you kind of feel like the game is decided. But are we going to see this historic feat? And sure enough, he came out and took care of business and completed it. And just an exhilarating performance. And he's just a big game pitcher. I mean, he threw a two-hit shutout last year in the regional final. He's been unconscious. He's going to the University of Maine for good reason. And, you know, he just thrives in moments like that. And I think it was a thrill for him. I mean, he had a no-hitter earlier this year. He'd been part of a combined perfect game earlier this year. So in a sense, it's nothing new, but to do the whole thing himself, get 21 up, 21 down, just a masterful performance. And, you know, always a thrill to be able to be in attendance for something like that and you know, help get the word out and just help celebrate an achievement like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because just like, I mean, this team now, looking back to last year, has just been rolling. I think you have them for, 21 in a row in the past 2 years?
Correct.
I mean, who's going to be able to, I guess, not even beat this team, but generate offense?
That's the thing, and it's not just Swenson. I mean, they had a stretch last week where Scarborough played four games. They won them all. They gave up three hits total in four games. Ryan Sugars and Nate Masters with some great pitching too. So yeah, I mean, to beat Scarborough, you're gonna have to score a run at some point. And you know, you got to figure at some point there's a team that might be able to string together a few hits or get a break, or you know, maybe there's a bad defensive inning or whatever. But you know, just based on pitching alone, Scarborough has what it takes to repeat. And you know, they've only lost one game in 2 years. That was a home loss at Deering last year, which was a huge surprise to everybody. And you know, they are on target here on their title defense. But you're right; it's got to be frustrating to know when you go up against a team and you think, oh, okay, we've avoided their ace. But their two and their three pitchers have been pretty effective too. You really have to scratch and claw, and you feel like there's just no margin for error on your end. You know, you give up a run, you're in real trouble. So, you know, Scarborough has a big psychological edge with that pitching mastery.
Yeah, certainly seems that way. And Gorham, we should say, recovered quite nicely from that defeat as they hung 12 in South Portland yesterday in a 12-0 game that was shortened to six innings. But Gorham did respond very, very well against a South Portland team that's been very good this year.
Yeah, South Portland's really having a tough week here. They lost a four-run lead and lost in 10 innings to Falmouth on Tuesday. And that really used up most of their pitching, and they turned around. They lost to Biddeford at home on Wednesday, and then yesterday, you know, you could kind of see it coming. They tried to patch together pitching however they could, and they hung tough for a while. And then Gorham blew that game open with an 8-run top of the sixth. But it was Miles Brenner doing the first four innings, and then Wyatt Netto came out and it came on and closed it out. So you know, Gorham's still looking good. I know they would love another shot at Scarborough, because if they get it, it probably means it's a semifinal or a regional final. And, you know, they know they have an ace that on any other given day can go pitch to pitch with Eric Swenson. And, you know, I think they feel like if they play again, it'll be nicer weather, and who knows. So, you know, Gorham certainly likes their chances. They've lived up to billing so far this year as being one of the top teams. And, you know, Class A South baseball is fun, guys. It seems like, you know, every week we have different teams kind of surging toward the top. And, you know, Biddeford's quietly put together a really nice season here. You know, Marshwood has been competitive against everybody. You know, certainly Scarborough at the top and Gorham near the top. UTA was supposed to play at Scarborough yesterday. That would have been a great matchup. That game got postponed by bad weather, which we're going to be saying a lot here in this segment, I think. But, you know, so they'll get to play down the road. That, you know, that's another possible playoff preview. South Portland's going to be fine. They'll put it together. You know, once they get through this tough stretch, I think they'll be fine. Falmouth has played competitively with everybody. They've had some tough losses, but, you know, they're a team that no one's going to want to see. So it's going to be a really fun tournament when it gets here.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, looking at the softball stuff too, I mean, there were a couple milestones. I feel like every time we've talked to you on a Friday, Michael, there's been a milestone. I just
they come in bunches, and it does seem like we have. Yeah, I know it is. It really is funny.
You have Addison DeRoche got her 300th, yep. And Stella Gervais of Wyndham also had her 300th career hit. Can you tell us a little bit about their accomplishments and both their teams, who again are at the top of the totem pole there for Class A softball?
Yeah, I mean, Addison DeRoche, every time she ever has a game, she does something spectacular. You know, last year was mostly just what she did on the mound, and, you know, it's something we've never seen and probably never will see again. And she's just as dominant this year, although she's really getting it done with her bat just as much as with her arm. Seems like she's hitting home runs or driving in five runs every single game. And but, yes, the other day at Kennebunk in Chevers' latest victory, DeRoche reached the 300 strikeout plateau. And you got to realize she's only like a year and a half into her career. I mean, that's a career milestone for most pitchers. That's something you tend to get to in your senior season. She's only halfway through her sophomore season, and, you know, who knows how high this number is going to get. And, you know, this Stags team has just lived up to billing, and I think they're better than last year. There's really no soft spots in their lineup. They're crushing the ball. They're getting everyone's best game, but they're rising to every challenge. And, you know, really the only team that's given them a close down-to-the-wire game so far was Gorham. And, you know, I think Gorham would love to see them again. Wyndham, we're going to see the second Wyndham-Chevers game next Saturday. And I know Wyndham's planning on seeing Chevers again deep in the playoffs. So, you know, there will be challenges down the road. But, you know, we talk all the time about what a special pitcher and what a special player Addison DeRoche is. And I'm not sure the numbers truly do it justice. I think this is something we'll look back on years from now and say, I can't believe I was around to witness that. And it's amazing to see. And, yeah, you mentioned Stella Jarvis. She got her 100th hit the other day in a win over Noble. And, you know, Wyndham's kind of quietly chugging along and letting Chevers get all the attention. I think they're happy with that. So, yeah, no shortage of great things happening there. And the best is yet to come.
Yeah, certainly. And you covered a pretty big one on the softball diamond here in Class B earlier on in the week, which seems like a pretty significant win for Yarmouth, taking down Greeley earlier on this week. What can you tell us about that, and how big of a win is that for the Clippers?
It's a big win for them. And, you know, they've been competitive with just about everybody. They just hadn't been able to close out games. Although, interestingly enough, they've really had Greeley's number this year. They beat Greeley 18-8 early this season when Greeley was undefeated. And the other day they shot to a 6-0 lead in the first inning and never looked back. Adelaide Stroud hit a big home run. And, you know, Yarmouth's a team that could get into the playoffs and beat anyone on a given day. They're still young. It's a relatively young team. They've got a freshman pitcher. I think their best days are still ahead of them, but they're very dangerous. And, you know, Greeley's hanging around right near the top of the heel point standings. They had a loss to York last week, but other than that, they've really been competitive. And, you know, I think York still, you know, they just don't seem to lose, except maybe on the last Saturday of the season. But they continue to be the best team in that region, and I think they're going to be considered that until someone otherwise serves notice. And, you know, we'll see what happens here in the next few weeks. Freeport's still doing very well. They were a regional finalist last season, and they certainly have what it takes to go on a deep playoff run, too.
Yeah, I want to jump to boys lacrosse now. I mean, obviously, we talk a lot about Falmouth, and it's for good reason. They're now on a 21-game win streak dating over the past two seasons, as you wrote in your most recent newsletter here, which is mind-boggling. But the other team here in boys lacrosse who also is starting to get that attention, too, is that 15 wins in a row over the past 2 years for Yarmouth. And I know those two teams are going to play soon, correct?
not only soon, they're going to play in about 6 hours. How's that for soon?
Oh, that's awesome. That
is tonight, and I think it's fair to say it's the most highly anticipated regular season game, and because Falmouth is Class A and Yarmouth is Class B, it's the only time they're going to play this year. So something's got to give. Is it going to be the incredible offense of the Falmouth Navigators, who have scored almost 20 points per game, almost 20 goals per game, or is it going to be Yarmouth's defense, which has given up 17 total goals in 9 games? So it's going to be interesting to see if Yarmouth can slow down Falmouth and can hang in the game, and you know Yarmouth can score some goals too, or is Falmouth just going to keep chugging along? And if they have another decisive win here, then I think it lives up to the billing. Is you know they've got to be in the discussion as potentially one of the all-time great teams. You know, we can't really have that discussion until they win a state title, but you know what they've done so far, just you know, utterly dominating every single team they've faced, you know, mercy ruling everybody that they've faced. If they could do that again tonight, that's just going to add to their claim. But Yarmouth really believes that they can, you know, hold Falmouth in check. They can score some goals of their own. And the big part of this game, both teams have terrific face-off guys. Noah Tippy for Yarmouth and Peter Kearns for Falmouth. And, you know, I think getting possession is going to be huge. If Yarmouth can win the majority of possession, they're going to have a real shot to stay in this game. But if Falmouth has the ball a lot more, you're only going to be able to hold them at bay so much. So I expect a good crowd tonight. Hopefully the rain will hold off. And, you know, I think it'll be like a playoff atmosphere over at Falmouth. I can't wait for that one.
We're joined by Michael Hoffer from Hoffer's High School Sports for our main high school sports weekend preview. And I did want to kind of ask you a little bit about the atmosphere you expect for tonight, because I know Falmouth and Yarmouth are both very big sports communities that are really into what the Clippers and Navigators do respectively. But tell me about the following for these boys' lacrosse programs here, and do you expect a packed crowd tonight?
Yeah, I expect a huge crowd, and, you know, both teams have, you know, quite the history. They, you know, they really both, you know, just going back to last year, they're the reigning state champs, and they're both on long win streaks. So there's been a long-time rivalry between Falmouth and Yarmouth in multiple sports. So I know this is a game that's been on everyone's radar here for quite a while. And, you know, now that it's here, I think, you know, both teams are certainly looking forward to measuring themselves against the other. And, you know, I guess here we go. Is Falmouth as unbeatable as everyone thinks? You know, will they show signs of mortality that might give Class A teams a little bit of hope that maybe they could make a run at them come tournament time? Or is it just going to be they're just going to separate themselves even more? And, you know, Yarmouth certainly looks like the favorite in Class B, and they had a decisive win over York earlier this year. But, you know, if they stumble, you know, maybe York, Freeport, teams like that start to think that, okay, well, maybe this team can be had come mid-June when it really matters. So, but to answer your question, yeah, I mean, and it's a huge weekend for lacrosse, guys. I'm sure you know that the Division 1, 2, and 3 championships, I think all of them are down at Gillette Stadium this weekend. So yep. I know a lot of the local lacrosse community is going to be heading down to Foxborough to take in those games over the weekend. And this is a great way to kick it off from a local perspective.
And should note, too, that Bowdoin was one win away
from
getting to the national championship game. Yeah.
Lost the Tufts on that one. They were very, very close. They had a really, they've had runs like that for the last few years, too, under Coach Mason.
Phenomenal run. Yeah,
he does. Coach Mason does a great job up there. He's a great guy, and we love that Bowdoin program. I can't wait till they get to Gillette. They will get there eventually. It's coming. And look, to kind of keep it on lacrosse on the girls' side too, I mean, next week, I mean, we can kind of look ahead to that, because I know you wrote about it, right? You have Yarmouth going to Cape in a rematch from earlier this year. You have Greeley playing York. You have Wayne Fleet taking on Freeport. So it's like there's no shortage of highly anticipated games, weather permitting, of course, next week, that we can all look to enjoy.
Yeah, for the most part, they're getting these lacrosse games in because there's so many turf fields now, but it would be nice if the weather got a little drier and warmer. I don't think any of us would complain about that. And it's been a fun season, especially in Class A, where, you know, Kennebunk's, you know, clearly the team to beat, but they only beat Falmouth by 2 goals last night. You've got other teams, you know, Windham surging on a 9-game win streak. Cheverus has been playing really, really well. Gorham's quietly put together a really good season. I don't think anyone knows how good Marshwood is just because they don't really play up here too much. But, you know, Cheverus only beat them by a goal the other day. Thornton Academy's had a couple of tough losses here over the past week. Overtime loss against Cape recently, and then they lost by a goal to Yarmouth last night. It seems like the Clippers are finally figuring it out and putting it together. The defending champs had lost 5 games in a row and had dropped to 3-6, but they've turned around now and beaten defending Class C champion Wayne Fleet and then CA last night. So I guarantee you they're a team that no one's going to want to face come playoff time. and that'll be the same story with Cape. So a lot of contenders in Class A. Freeport just really impressing in Class B. They're really running roughshod over everyone and looking really good. They fell a goal short last year of the championship, and you know this year's team's not going to settle for anything but. And you know, Class C's got some interesting aspects to it too. You know, coming in, I thought it was basically going to be Wayne Fleet Wells, NYA, but you look at the heels right now, and you know, Marana Cook and Lincoln Academy, Trape Academy, teams that you never really associated with top lacrosse programs, are all right there. You got Wingfleet in the eighth spot. They've got some work to do just to get in the playoffs and maybe try to get a home playoff game. But, you know, they're going to have to win a big game or two to make that happen. So we might have some unfamiliar names in the Class C department when we get to deep into the playoffs there for a girls lacrosse.
Yeah, starting to get down to the end of these seasons here too, and I know those come a little bit quicker on the tennis courts and in the track and field realm here too. So anything you're following there as we head towards state tournaments and meets in those sports?
Yeah, well, you know, tennis crown, they're singles and doubles champion. I mean, you got all that out of the way last weekend, and the team tournament isn't too far away. The state track meet, I believe, is 2 weeks from tomorrow. So we are, we won't be long here till we'll start crowning champions, and then tennis comes the week after that. And we're 4 weeks away from everything coming to an end. So hopefully by then the weather will have turned and it won't be painful to be outside, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, we'll all believe it when we see it, I think, too, my friend. And I guess I'll leave you with this one, too. I mean, What if there's anything at this point in the spring season? Like, I know we kind of expected Chevris and Wyndham. Is there anyone in particular in our coverage area, Michael, that's really stood out to you as maybe a team that's been a surprise? I don't care what sport it is, but a team that's maybe stood out to you as someone that a lot of people didn't have expectations on that maybe we all should start taking note of here as we head towards playoffs?
No, that's a good question. Scratching my brain here. I mean, I wouldn't say there's anyone that's been a huge surprise. You know, maybe seeing a few traditional powers struggle a little bit, like the Falmouth and Yarmouth girls lacrosse teams. You know, I think they're still going to be dangerous come playoff time. You know, Thornton Academy girls lacrosse has been a great story. They won 2 games last year. They're 7-4 right now, and you look at their losses, a couple have come in overtime. So, you know, they're a team that's really, you know, seeing Wyndham become a powerhouse. They've been knocking on the door here for a while. Now they've won 9 games in a row, and they actually gave Kennebunk a very close game in the opener. So it would be very strange to have a Class A state game and not have a Falmouth or Yarmouth in it. But, you know, that's certainly a possibility here this season. And just, I mean, you look at Class A South baseball, I don't know that how many people thought Biddeford would be in the mix, even though they're not really in this area. But, you know, they're a team that's kind of caught my eye. Marshwood, they seem like they're always hanging around. And, you know, come playoff time, it might just be the familiar names and the defending champs and defending regional champs. But you know, the nice thing about high school sports is when you get these surprises, it just adds a little bit of a variety and spice, and regardless of what level of sport, we always love surprises. So I think we're probably due for some here in the next few weeks.
That we do. Michael Hoffer from Hoffer's High School Sports, thanks for joining us for another Maine High School Sports Weekend Preview. We'll talk again next Friday.
Sounds great, guys. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Again, Michael Hoffer from Hoffer's High School Sports. We'll come back and put the wraps on hour two on a finally Friday edition of Middays with Mannix and Mannix next.